Hi there. When I need to quench my desire for the paranormal, only one thing can hit the spot. I tune into Nightwatch with Todd Sheets. Accept no substitutes. When you need the real thing, tune in to Nightwatch, the only show that shudders and shakes and bumps in the night. And don't forget, Nightwatch is also available on iTunes for your portable paranormal pleasure. Nightwatch, paranormal radio for everyone. Why settle for less? Demand the best. Nightwatch.
Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free. And we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Thank you. experience the charm and mystery of the deep sound through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sights you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I just, you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird, or something like that.
Listening to Ghostly Talk.
I'm bringing the slider down smoothly and slowly as instructed.
You're doing it so well.
Now we're back now, we're happening. We had some problems at the beginning of the show, but you know, we're making it happen now.
Some
it's
problems,
cool.
I blew up a board.
I don't think you blew up it. Well,
I blew a fuse. Oh, that's so cool. You can be like, Doug blew a fuse.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And I'm a line. Well, go ahead.
And that's it? Oh, here. Actually, what we have is the Michigan Paranormal Expo is coming to the Opera House in Howell, Michigan on June 28th, 2008. The expo will run for one day and will feature guest speakers, vendors, and more. Patrick Burns, and I cannot wait to see Patrick Burns again, will be the featured speaker for the expo. The website is it's ghostprism.com. That's ghostprism.com. And we have, from Prism, Lisa Hoskins on the line. Lisa, welcome to a fabulous and chaotic Ghostly Talk.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, Lisa made a comment on the break. She said she heard the chaos, too, which is always fun to hear. But, Lisa, you have this, you know, we have to start off, you know, you're a neighbor of ours. And this is going to be a really, I'm so excited because this is, well, it's nice to start seeing some conferences and expos.
In Michigan.
In Michigan, you know.
Exactly.
The traveling we've been doing here for the last couple of years has been killer on us, right? So we're so excited to be able to like go to a really cool paranormal conference and represent Ghostly Talk and go and meet some great people and then be able to go and sleep in our own beds that night. We're so excited about that.
Yeah, it's the main reason why we decided to have it. Because as you guys know, we really don't have anything here.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't. And you know, I can't afford to go all over the place. So, you know, I'm like, okay, if other people feel the way I do, then it should go over well. You know, so I sent out like a mass bulletin on MySpace when we were thinking about it, you know, just to ask, especially the Michigan people, would you come? And they're like, yeah, we'll come, you know, so we went ahead and, you know, said, okay, you know.
Well, it's a fantastic idea, and with all the talking we do to the people about these conferences, it's not an easy undertaking either. It's a lot of work, I imagine.
It's also going to be very interesting and very beautiful because didn't it happen to be the same weekend as, like, the Balloon Festival or something?
Oh, my God, yes. We didn't plan it that way, and I actually had to see the Opera House.
It's the Balloon people. The Balloon people heard about it. They said, oh, my gosh, we have to have a coincidental event.
Well, see, you know, they restored the first floor of the Opera House. So they rent that out now to pay for the renovations on the second and third floors.
And that's beautiful. That is exactly how it should be. These places that are haunted and needing renovation, this is the kind of thing that needs to happen in these places. And to bring notoriety and some interest in the venue, as well as be a fascinating thing to do. Go see the speakers and network amongst all the people that you've seen on the Satan's website. And it's a fantastic... As opposed to the other Satan's website.
Right.
No, it's a fantastic idea, and I think that these things need to happen. And these one-day things, you know, you get a hotel room for one night. It's not that much. It's not like the whole weekend-long one. So I really like these expo kind of formats.
Who else do we get? Go ahead, Lisa.
You
sorry.
Know, I had picked, you know, the date was actually a pretty good date, but it was already booked. So I said, okay, let's go with the 28th. And then we didn't find out about the Balloon Fest until, I don't know, maybe 4 months ago. And when I was gathering up hotel information, and one of them was booked, and I said, what's a hotel in Howell? Why is it already booked for June? And then I went, oh, my God, what is the Balloon Fest? You know, because they get, like, tens of thousands of people that weekend
for
the Balloon
Fest.
So it's, you know, when we started, you know, trying to find a place for the meet and greet, oh, my God. You know, because nobody wanted to, you know, right there in downtown Howell, they didn't want to do that for us. Because they're like, well, we're already going to have Balloon Fest people in here. You know, we're not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, luckily we found one around the corner. I said, oh, sure, no problem. We're further away from the downtown area. We can get you in. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Oh, that's excellent.
Well, it's so good to see that worked out, you know, but, well, I guess it'll be, this is a Balloon Festival, as in, like, I don't know how they got on this subject, but I have to ask, is it like a hot air balloon thing, or?
Yes.
I don't even know what's going on.
It's the Michigan Challenge Balloon Fest, hot air balloons, and people come from all over.
Well, at least we'll have something to look at.
All weekend. Yeah, it runs all weekend, and that's, you know, it turned out for the best because people coming from out of town who are going to be here all weekend, you know, they can, if they come in Friday during the day, it's not even a mile down the road from the Opera House.
Excellent.
You know, so they can go to that, or they can go Sunday or whatever, you know, so it turned out well, hopefully.
Now, for a one-day event here, Lisa, you guys are really packing a lot of stuff into it. You know, we mentioned Patrick Burns is going to be the featured speaker of the day, but there was a pile of other speakers that are going to be there. Just to name a few, who else do you have coming to the expo?
Okay, besides Patrick Burns, we've got, of course, you guys.
Oh, hey. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
Who important is going to be there?
You see how we run this show, Lisa? Are you crazy?
We have a few radio people. We've got Chris and Mike from Crossroads Paranormal.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see her again.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got Charlotte White. She's from Shadowland Investigators here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
James Willis. He's a co-author of Weird Ohio.
Oh, we love James Willis.
That's our boy.
Chris actually from Crossroads, she said, I you know, you need him to come. So she actually worked on that for us.
Excellent. Great.
We have Lisa J. Smith, and she's from Psychic Radio, psychiconair.com. And we have Bishop James Long, who we just recently added.
We're going to be having him on our show pretty soon, too. I think, actually, maybe this month, too. It may be this month. I'm not sure.
Yeah, if I'm still around. I think
really
my
nice
contract
guy.
Renewal
well, if
time.
If he hasn't fired me yet, you're safe.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, who else? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lisa.
And then we've got our MCs for the day are Dave and Tom, and they're the ones that started Pair X Radio.
Yeah,
you know, my MCs.
And they're very cool people over there. We just We're going to be broadcasting through those guys, too. They're nice enough to rebroadcast Ghostly Talk for us. So looking forward to meeting those folks, too. It's going to be a heck of a lineup, I have to say, Lisa. You got tons of people coming from all different walks of life when it comes to studying the paranormal, too. So I think it'll be a lot of information to take in for one day. And I just don't think it's going to be such a great event, Lisa.
It's crammed in, and when I added the bishop, I thought, oh my gosh, I have to redo the schedule here. And you know, I wanted to do the panel discussion, and I was trying to like work in breaks. I'm like, okay, we need a dinner here somewhere. People have to eat, you know.
That's the thing when organizing anything. I find myself unable to organize just a night out to going to dinner. It's like, okay, everybody, come on over, we'll go out to dinner, and it's like. Nobody can agree where to go or when or what time. And
because none of us really like you.
Well, that's true. But, yeah. I mean, I just I find it so difficult to organize just that, let alone an entire expo. So kudos to you.
Yeah, it's had some rough spots, but, it's, you know, I think it's going to be worth it just for everybody to meet everybody else and have something here in Michigan, you know, that everybody can go to. And we actually could have... With the response that we've gotten, just the help from everybody, we probably could have made it 2 days. But, you know, we have to rent the space, so.
Right,
we would have had to rent the space again. So, like, no, this is the first time we're doing this. We're going to stick with 1 day and see what happens. You know?
Well, you know, and that's the way, you know, there is the term, you know, sometimes you got to crawl before you can walk. And I think some people, you know, and we've been to so many conferences in the last 3 years now. We've been to some really huge conferences. And they're like, a lot of them were the first year people were doing them. They did a fine job, but I think that would be the approach that I would take if now, mind you, this will never happen if Ghostly Talk was ever to do a conference. It'll never happen. But if we were to ever do one, I think we'd try to do something, you know, like a one-day thing like that. Because it's just, you got to crawl before you can walk with these things. And it's a lot of money to do these things, obviously. There's a lot of logistics involved. It's a ton of work. And we keep telling people, because, you know, people are always emailing saying things like, you know, well, I'm thinking about doing a conference here. I'm thinking about doing a conference there. You know, would you guys be interested in coming? And, well, yeah, we'd love to come, you know, but what's the story? What do you got? What are you working on, you know? Because I'd hate to see people. People, you know, run themselves into the poorhouse for something like this, and we've heard stories about people doing that, right, Doug?
Oh yeah, definitely. And sometimes it gets a little shaky in that you know, lawyers have to be brought in and stuff. It just does not
ugly. Yeah,
yeah, it's ugly, and that's why I think the climate has changed a little bit. And I think the climate around here, at least in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana, and Illinois, you know, the four states that I would expect people to go to the Michigan Paranormal Expo from, I think the climate is ready for something like this. You know, you get together, you get to meet Patrick Burns, you get to see some beautiful balloons in the sky, and you get to talk about paranormal stuff in a haunted opera house that's being renovated. So it's also a good cause. I mean, it's an amazing event, and I think the time, it's time. It's been time, and I think this is absolutely perfect timing, Lisa.
Yeah, we're excited, and you know, we work closely with Opera House. We investigate there all the time, and they've been really great. And you know, I call with questions all the time. I forget this or that, and trying to figure out how many tables will fit here and there. And you know,
well, we got to keep in mind that the first and foremost things of events like this, you know, and we talked a little bit about this with Larry in the last half hour. You know, it's about sharing information, about bringing people together. Most of all, I know for a fact that's Doug and mine's. You know, most favorite thing about going to any conference is going and meeting new people, talking about things, learning new things, this and that. And that's why Doug and I just live to go to these expos and conferences of this sort, to share information with people and, most of all, learn from other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the weird thing is I've never been to a conference.
Oh, my. This will be interesting.
Never. Wait, and it's because, like I said, I can't afford to go to, you know, all these other states where they have them.
Well,
I figure, okay, I'll just bring them to me.
I met you at a psychic fair, didn't I?
Yeah.
So it
was awesome.
That was an amazing. I can't believe what Wolfman Mac threw together. It's like, wow, that thing is just insanely cool. But yeah, it was amazing, and I figure if it's anything like that, then you know, pretty much the whole will be greater than the sum of the parts, because. That's what I experienced there. I got to meet you. I got to see the Metro Paranormal folks again. It was just an amazing afternoon, because that was just a daytime kind of thing, you know.
Yep.
And it was amazing. So I think the same thing's going to happen for the Michigan Paranormal Expo coming up on the 28th, because it's going to be, again, the whole will be greater than the sum of the parts, and it will just take on a life and a magic of its own. And I know that, you know, there'll be people there who I've not met before, and because when I go to conferences, it seems to always be out of state, and so it'll be interesting to meet people from Michigan.
No, I think I've only been able to make one conference in Michigan, which is sad.
Really?
We've done a couple in Michigan.
Well, yeah.
I've only been able to hit one. But every out-of-state conference, yeah, I have less problems with those.
Right. I have less problems going to out-of-state conferences than ones in Michigan. So it's amazing.
Well, Lisa, you know, we only got a couple more minutes here. I'd like to hear a little bit about PRISM itself, though, and the work you're doing with PRISM, your group.
Oh, I hate
when people ask this question. Oh, I'm sorry. We're real people. Hey, we're real people here. If it's a tough one, we won't talk about it.
Well, it's, you know, we're definitely different than Larry's group who had on before me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I've said on other shows, it's great that there are people out there like that, because I am not one of them. I'm so not a scientific person. We do everything in balance. You know, we use the equipment, but at the same time, you know, we've used psychics. We have one now, Lisa J. Smith. She'll be at the conference. She's like our consultant. You know, and I've never come at it from a standpoint of proving the paranormal to anybody, because I don't think you can do that. That's something they have to come to on their own. My biggest mission in starting the group and doing this is to help the people that need it. Whether we're in their house, whether we're, you know, whether I have to talk somewhere and we're, you know, we're educating on different things, that's my main focus. So, you know, most people, when you're in their house and they already believe that there's something in there, they're not going to care what you get in your pictures or whatever, unless they're already into the paranormal. Then they're kind of like, oh, yeah, I want to see what you got, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But well, if they're afraid, they just like, okay, well, you know, what is it doing here? Who is it? You know, get it out, whatever.
Well, and that's so, what it comes down to that also, Lisa. And, you know, I know Doug and Bonnie and myself and even Bobby, you know, who's our guest host tonight, we can all see on both sides of the coin, especially doing the show and stuff like that. But I got to be completely honest, is that over the last few years, and Doug knows this, I've talked about it on the show myself, I'm really going for the experiences. Yeah, you know, I like to take the pictures and take the audio and things like this. But people, like you said, the people, you're going to someone's house to do an investigation, and they're telling you, look, I experienced this. This is what I felt. Take your pictures, take your audio, whatever it may be. But there's nothing, you know, this, and this may not be what they're saying, but this is what's going on in their mind. You know, I've experienced this no matter what you get. You know, coming in as a ghost hunting group, sometimes you're going to validate things for them, but they're still going to have those experiences. And going out and doing the work that we do, a lot, you know, like other groups, I just want to experience something. And I know that's what Doug wants to also. And I may not get a picture. I may not get a piece of audio or something tangible to hold in my hand and go, look, this is what I saw. But I still may have an experience to back that up. And, of course, it's my word against the other people's words. But I still think that's very, very, very valid, you know, in the state of the paranormal today.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're not going to be able to change their mind, you know, for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
So we kind of work more on the, you know, and everybody loves to go in and, you know, they're interested, you know, we want to see what we're going to find, that kind of thing. But the main focal point is just helping them, whether that's just talking to them, answering their questions, you know, if we need to contact somebody else who can help them, whatever that is. Our job is to help them.
Exactly.
So we do the public buildings, and the public buildings, you know, like the Opera House, that's our selfish time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, even the Opera House, they know they have spirits there. They, you know, they experience things themselves while they're in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go in there, it's kind of like they're not asking us, what do you think is here? You know, that kind of thing. It's more selfish for us. That's when we can go in there, we can do experiments, whatever it is, you know, and be selfish.
Yeah, well, that's your
no
jam.
Emotional drain. Yeah.
Yeah, and that, and that's a lot of groups are, you know, a lot of groups are out there trying to find places like that. And I, you know, Doug, chime in on this if you want. You know, we've heard the term, you know, it's more impressive to find a group that investigates one place 100 times as opposed to 100 times one at one place. You follow what I'm saying? Or did I say that completely wrong?
Well, yeah.
Doug? Did I totally screw it up?
Mean,
all
yeah,
right, let me try this again.
Okay.
Go ahead, Doug. It's all you, Doug. No, go ahead. I totally screwed it up.
A hundred. It's more impressive to investigate one place 100 times than 100 places one time.
One time, yeah.
I have to. I'm going to use the sun as an excuse because where I'm broadcast helped. You know.
Oh, hear that
yeah.
one more time.
Dude, the sun. The sun's totally beating down on me right now, and I'm totally getting like probably a sunstroke or something as if we're speaking right now.
Land shark. You better run
land shark. All right. So yeah, you know that's. To find a place like that, Lisa, that you can actually do work over and over again, and maybe
that's more impressive. It really is.
Yeah, to get statistics, get some ideas, maybe learn some stuff from repetition.
And
right?
Then you'll also know, like you go in there a couple times and have absolutely nothing. Those are control nights. You go another night, everything's, you know, going down. Wow, you know, then you've got something to compare it against. You know, whereas if you go in one time, you've got nothing to compare your experiences against.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the Opera House is. They don't have, well, actually they're starting to now, but there's never been, you know, amazing, activity events where, you know, things aren't moving, you're not, you know, you don't hear loud bangs or noises or, you know, nobody sees anything. Most of it's audio. But what we've learned over the course, because we investigated there before they renovated the first floor and rented it out, now that they rent that out, there's people in there all the time.
Amazing.
The activity's picking up now.
And
to
that's
the point of where they're seeing things like that.
And that's the exciting time. So you guys are in there at the right time, and you've got the right place. I'm really excited that in the end of this month, we're at the beginning of the month now, the end mm-hmm. of this month, we're going to be in the Howell Opera House with Prism and for the Michigan Paranormal Expo. This is so exciting, Lisa. Thank
June 28, 2008 at the Howell Opera House, the Michigan Paranormal Expo hosted by Prism and namely Miss Lisa Hoskins. I know I'm really excited about it, Lisa, and I'm looking forward to find, you know, Doug's met you already, but I haven't met you, so personally I'm looking forward to meeting you myself.
I am also, and don't forget the meet and greet the night before.
Oh, we'll be there.
Which will be awesome.
Okay.
Lisa, hang on the line.
Yeah,
hang
don't
on the line just briefly. Ghostprism.com is the website, GHOSTPRISM.com. And, of course, she's a friend of mine on Satan's website, so you can always go through there and find Prism in my list. You guys, another break, right? Another break's on the schedule. And then we're going to have another Lisa. We're going to have Lisa Lindley. Come on,
yes.
and chat with her for a little bit. So those of you who are in and around Michigan, I mean, if you're in Michigan, if you're Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, anywhere like that, Ontario, this month on the 28th, there's going to be the Michigan Paranormal Expo, and I want to see everybody there. Okay, quick break, and then we're going to have the other Lisa on. Wish me luck with all these buttons and knobs, though. I'm just not used to them. But we'll see what we can do.
Ghostly Talk!
Station
3.0.
Are you scared?
It's the Ghost Divas.
Live.
They're fabulous, but evil in all the right ways.
They are witches and monsters and freaks.
Forget Triple X. The Ghost Divas are so hot, they had to change the rating system. Triple U coming your way.
Uncensored, unfiltered, and uninhibited.
She was clearly insane.
As if. Catch the Ghost Divas TNA. That's Therian advice. Perv.
Oh, God, men are such babies.
It's the Ghost Divas. They tackle the hottest topics in the paranormal community. Don't let the TNA fool you. These chicks actually know what they're talking about when it comes to paranormal research and subjects of the unexplained. Chicks with brains. Are you scared yet? It's the Ghost Divas live on Para-X Radio.
We'll be right back.
you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Green Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's a very EMF meter. Started this whole thing.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
There is no doubt that hundreds, perhaps thousands of people have had an encounter with a ghostly apparition in the halls of old mansions and houses. But it would also appear that some of the greatest figures in our American history have also had an encounter with ghostly spirits in the most famous house of all.
Ghost of the White House.
Tales of White House ghosts have been around since the 1800s, with encounters reported by House staff, foreign dignitaries, and even the presidents and first ladies themselves. Early reports told of a British Civil War soldier who would appear and walk the grounds at night. Other encounters have been reported of a long-deceased White House usher who walks the halls to this day, turning off the lights. Some say that you can still occasionally see the ghost of a White House doorman who still remains in his lonely post. There are many reports of encounters with the ghost of former first ladies as well. On more than one occasion, the spirit of First Lady Abigail Adams has been seen hanging laundry in the West Wing, while the ghost of Dolly Madison often appears in the famous Rose Garden that she created and loved so much. Of all of the former White House spirits, however, none has appeared or made his presence as well known as that of former President Abraham Lincoln. Perhaps it was his untimely death at the hands of an assassin that kept his spirit from unrest, or maybe it was due to his curiosity of spiritualism during life. Lincoln was president at a time when spiritualism was hugely popular. His wife would often arrange seances in the White House that Lincoln himself would attend occasionally in the attempts to contact his son, William. Lincoln's ghost, which appears to have been most active during Franklin Roosevelt's administration, has been cited by many eyewitnesses. Presidents Roosevelt, Hoover, and Truman have all reported hearing unexplained knocking at their doors. Upon answering it, there would be no one there. Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands also awoke one night to the sounds of knocking at her door. Upon opening the door, however, this time there was someone standing there. She froze in fear and then fell unconscious upon standing face to face with President Lincoln, who was peering back at her from the hallway outside her room. Calvin Coolidge's wife reported seeing the ghost of Lincoln on several occasions, peering out of the Oval Office windows. Winston Churchill refused to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom after reporting seeing Lincoln's ghost lurking about. One of Roosevelt's staffers also claimed to have entered the room and saw the ghostly apparition of Lincoln sitting on the bed, pulling off his boots. Whatever it is that lurks the darkened halls of the White House at night, no one really knows. But some will tell you, off the record, that even the Secret Service can't keep them away. The ghost of the White House.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny.
Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? KarmaCast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and time. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, television is reality, and reality is less than television.
Excellent and smooth.
Yes, it was. Up until the point you mentioned it.
Until I mentioned it, and then it became more like ghostly talk.
No, that becomes real. That's what we are here. We're real.
Real.
Speaking of real, Amber just saw a dolphin out in the ocean. I just want to mention that to you guys, too.
Really?
Okay.
Shark.
You are now banned from any mention of the ocean or where you're at. Kind of like the Sopranos, I don't want to hear about it anymore.
All right, I'm going to shut up. Who do we have on the line right now, guys?
Well, now I can't hear myself. I just adjusted a little knob, and I can't hear myself, and I don't... That really, really drives me insane. Okay. When the Lindley family realized the American dream by purchasing their first home, they didn't intend on sharing it with uninvited guests. What began as something innocent soon became a parent's worst nightmare, an unsettled feeling that not many can describe, and children petrified to sleep in their rooms at night. Paranormal investigators and psychics, along with information from local records, previously confirmed 5 years of bone-chilling ghostly incidents in two consecutive homes. This mother of three will describe in unnerving detail past and current events with the paranormal that challenged her children in the very place they're supposed to call home, and their never-ending quest to find trustworthy sources for help. We have Lisa Lindley on the phone. I want to give out the websites, though, so that folks can go and look at this stuff and see what they've documented. www.ourhaunting.freeservers.com. So www.ourhaunting.freeservers.com. And then also, and I'm sure there's a link on one to the other, but there's www.neveralone.freehosting.net. So those are the two websites. Lisa, thank you for coming on Ghostly Talk.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And you've already told us on the break that we need to watch out because, and this is actually something that happens with a lot of interesting guests is that they're part of an active haunting or part of, you know, something where when they do interviews, things happen.
Right, and I wish that I could say that things didn't happen at our house. This isn't anything that I would wish on my family, what we've been going through. But it's something you have to learn to live with. You can't run away from it. And I'm just now to the point that when I talk about it, I really want to try to offer some help out there, not just to talk about our story for the wrong reasons, but just to offer some help to people that might be going through this, because you know, sometimes we have periods of time with us that things are okay, and then activity starts peaking, and it really does. When I know that I'm going to go and talk about this, I just have to be on alert. It's like the atmosphere in the house shifts to something just overwhelming at times. And, you know, we don't go every day looking for trouble. It just kind of finds us, so to speak, unfortunately.
Well, Lisa, I want to point one thing out. You know, we've talked on the phone a couple of times before, you know, before tonight, about the situation, the stuff that your family, you and your family have experienced, and just the stuff that's happened to you guys. And I have to make an observation that, you know, you're a very chipper and upbeat person, regardless of the you know, the things that have happened that I'm sure we're going to talk about here pretty soon, okay?
Okay.
you're a very, I mean, I was very impressed because we talked to other people that have been in the same situation, and to be frank, they're very, you know, they're disturbed, they're scared, but you seem to be in very high spirits, you know, looking forward to, you know, being positive, you know, to get through something like this, because this isn't over, am I correct?
No, sir, it is totally not over by any means, and, you know, the thing is, when you find yourself in a situation like this and you realize that you can't run from it, you have to find out what works for your family and how you can, I guess coping is a good way to put it, but we've been through, I mean, 5 years of things that I wish I wouldn't have. I thought people were kidding when they said, oh, I've lived like this, I've had these things in my house. I used to be all up in paranormal things for a hobby. I thought it was interesting. And then when it came to live with us, or however this came about, the whole thing, it kind of changed, you know, my outlook on things. But we have a little bit of a, if you want to call it a strategy of how we're coping with it, which gives me some positive hope. But we even had some activity a night or two ago that just, you know, kind of caught me off guard. And I guess you become accustomed to living like this because you have to. You have to find ways to cope since, like I said, you can't run from it.
Isn't it all predictable? Like, do you know, like, when you're driving home from work one day or as you're leaving to go on an errand or to go visit somebody, that when, like, do you get a sense or an instinct as far as when things are going to act up?
Well, not away from the house so much. I mean, I've had that happen before, but more recently when we've had a few things happen, it's kind of hard to explain, but the atmosphere in the house just shifts. Like, I'm ultra sensitive to things, unfortunately I am, and I just get a feeling, like, you just know that something's not right, and sometimes it gets really overwhelming, and I'll tell my husband now, who now believes in all this after what's happened, and I'll just say, look, I just want to tell you, he's the big prayer warrior in the family, and I said, you know, something in the house is changing, and then my 14-year-old daughter has had experiences since, you know, house number one into house number two, and she can actually see and hear things that I can't, but I can sense, and so I guess as a team in a certain kind of way, we kind of work together to fight this off. But there are times that I really wish we weren't going through this, and, you know, we think moving, you know, would always be an option. But honestly, when it's after the family, like I said, you can't run, and that can be very frustrating because my husband will say, we even had this conversation like a night ago, he said, you know, is this ever going to stop? And that's where you have to find out what you can do to get through this, and you just have to pray a lot and hope that, you know, eventually things will come to a ceasing end, that you can overcome this. But when you're dealing with evil at its worst, I mean, face on, like our family has dealt with, this is some pretty tough stuff that, you know, I call superficial methods won't work. And there's a lot of people that might get mad at me for saying that, that really believe in burning certain color candles or, you know, putting salt in the four corners of your house or chanting some magic spells. None of that works with what we've had to deal with. So we've had to rely on a few other things to try to get us through. But it's been a very eye-opening experience on our end with this.
Well, before we get into, like, what's going on in the activity and stuff like that, do you get a sense that it's attached to a person? Or is it attached to one of your items that you move from house to house? Because it's been two houses, right?
Right. In the second house, it was a completely different wake-up call, if you want to put it that way, from when we figured out what was actually going on. And my 14, well, she's 14 now, my daughter, my older one, was kind of being targeted because it knew that it could get through to her so that we would notice. It's like the more negative energy you give, it feeds off of your fear. And now my three-year-old, back in March, we found out that she's been having experiences as well. And it's not, you know, it's a typical daily conversation that you're saying, oh, what's going on in the house now? You try to live a normal life like everybody else does, but things just happen and you have to deal with them when they come up. But I really think as a family, we kind of walked into the situation, and because we didn't have a strong belief system in the right direction, I think it just latched on at the first house, possibly followed us here. But what we've had at both houses have been two completely different sets of entities, if you want to put it that way, experiences. I mean, what we had here, it makes some of these horror films that Hollywood puts out, you know, for profit, obviously, it makes them look like a joke when you see or hear about what has happened to us and the reality of what this stuff is and that it does exist in the realm of the supernatural or however you want to call it. But we're still alive. We're still here, thank goodness. And we're fighting as a family, but I really think it's after us. And you just hope they're going to give up. I don't know what they want with us. You know, we've had people, we've talked to various people about what they think it is. But all in all, I mean, this is too strange of a situation to have happened to a decent family. I mean, we are normal people, you know. They have happened twice in a row over, you know, 5 years at two houses. I mean, we questioned all that. Did we bring something from the second house? We really didn't bring anything with us, you know, that would have been a magnet, so to speak. So, you know, I think it was just looking for us, you know, looking for family to latch to.
And what does it do?
What have we seen? Do you mean like how does it manifest?
Yeah. What kinds of things do you experience? Let's start with what kinds of things do you experience?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. In the first house, we were, like I said, really loved Halloween. We were the family that was known for all this kind of thing, you know, decorating and this and that. And what these things appear to be, and they were demons the whole time. I know people laugh. They say, oh, yeah, a demon. Yeah, right, whatever. No, I thought the same thing. I believed in ghosts at that time. But what has happened to us has not been ghosts. What has happened is in the first half, these things started appearing as, well, with me, it was a feeling like being watched heavily, spotting misty things in your home, feeling like you've seen something you're not sure, you know, you're questioning is there, feeling a presence. And then I guess it was about 2 months after we moved into our farmhouse that had a bunch of acreage with it and quite a history. We were renovating, and my daughter, who was 9 at the time, my oldest one, she said this little, like, 8 or 9-year-old girl named Linda was coming out of the closet at night wanting to play dolls with her. And so it was manifesting itself as a small child that could identify with our daughter to suck us into this whole mess is how this started. And she had seen a soldier one night in a full military uniform on our stairs and had really vivid details about this. And I had her draw me pictures of what she was seeing. And, you know, she would see these things and they would talk to her. She had one that looked like my grandmother who had passed away like years before that she never went to the funeral or wake and could, you know, explain what she was wearing. She'd seen a little boy on the property, and all this was more like what you would call a ghostly-like image. And then here at the house that we're at now, nothing that we've seen has been anything short of black-hooded or red-hooded figures with black eyes. I mean, they're like the pupils are totally black. I saw one standing over my daughter's bed at like 2 in the morning one night, and I thought, did I just see that? And it disappeared. More recently, though, even like yesterday and the day before that, I had seen a small child in her room as plain as day for just out of the corner of my eye for a second. And there was also a man that I spotted one morning. It was like 2 days ago walking around, and it just disappeared into thin air. So that's like something new for us. But most of the manifestations have been hooded figures. I mean, I'm talking evil, bad stuff. So we don't have Casper the Friendly Ghost over here. I mean, these things are wicked. They're evil, and it's just, it's horrible. I mean, it caused us to flee our house last August, and that's where that second book came out, because I had to tell the truth to everybody about what happened to us, and my husband was very adamant about this. And, we had hooded demons, I mean, telling us to leave our house. I mean, my daughter was hearing these things and seeing them, and she went through a really horrible, you know, tormenting time for, you know, 48 hours, and we said we'd never leave. You know, we were the family. Yeah, we're going to stay here. We're going to not do this, and we packed it up and left. I mean, I didn't think we were ever going to come back here, and we did. And it's just been a really awful nightmare. I mean, I don't know what caused us to explode on August 11th of last summer, but that is what we're dealing with, and it's it's just a far worse situation, more serious when your family's safety is at stake. And, you know, you can't just pick up and move. A lot of people think, oh, yeah, just pick up and leave. Why don't you just go? And, you know, we did and we came back, but not many people have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting in the bank to just leave your house and never come back, you know. So that's kind of what's been manifesting over here at the, you know, the current house. But it did change, you know, went from looking like one thing to something else, and I had to change my mind about what I thought this was. And our whole family had to, you know, change our minds about what we thought all this was and just let people know, look, this is very real stuff that's happened to us. And, you know, we didn't invite it in either. I mean, I really want to make that clear to people. We weren't doing Ouija boards. We weren't, you know, summoning these things up. We were just minding our normal business and happened to buy a second house, start taking pictures, and bang, there it is on the film. And I thought, there's no way. There is no way this is happening to us twice. I thought, the house is bigger. We move in. The kids will sleep in their rooms, right? Like 2 weeks after we moved in, the kids started spotting children in the upstairs of the house. I mean, it was like a repeat all over again, and then it got 10 times worse. I mean, it was just unbelievable what happened. So I'm sorry if I'm going off track. I'm
No,
kind of going
no,
off
no,
off
no.
Off.
What did... What,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this stuff starts happening, and to me, you know, I mean, at first, and I know this is going to sound terrible from your perspective, but from from my perspective, I'd be like, ooh, look at all this cool stuff going on. You know, I mean, it would, I think, because of where I am and who I am and what I do and the fact that, you know, I do ghostly talk, I go to the paranormal conventions, I talk about supernatural all the time. It's my hobby and my passion, as, you know, I don't make money off of it, of course, but I love you know, talking about and learning about the paranormal. So if something started happening, I would actually be a little excited. So it could, something evil could, I think, hook me. You know,
right.
I think I'm fairly well protected. I have a fairly solid belief system, and
that's important.
Yeah, and,
you know,
and
the thing that. Well, I thought it was really, you know, at the beginning I was kind of intrigued thinking, oh, wow, this is happening to us. And then at the same time, though, as a mom with, you know, now we have 3 children, it is terrifying. I mean, not so much now because, not that I'm accustomed to living like this, but you kind of know what these things are up to after you learn how to deal with it a little bit. But the thing is that night after night, when your kids, especially going to the second house thinking you're going to get some relief and get away from this, they're terrified to sleep in their rooms. Things are happening that you can't explain, and your children are just scared out of their minds. I mean, you kind of feel guilty, like, you know, I'm putting my kids through this again. I mean, we didn't intentionally go out seeking a house like this. I mean, I asked my husband. It was another house, you know, the bargain basement price. We bought it for practically nothing. Thought we had the dream of fixing this place up. It's the old historic house with a staircase to die for, and I thought, plenty of room. We'll make this work. And then, you know, when the kids started going through this again, I thought, there is no way. And that's when I became kind of scared and angry in seeing what they went through. I mean, I have an 8-year-old son that still can't even totally explain what he's been through with this. I mean, he's been through more probably than most kids have with this. And it's been really hard, you know, and part of me is angry, and I guess that's good because it makes you want to fight back a little more. But it takes the fun out of it when it starts disrupting your whole house and knowing that you... Sorry, when you can't run away from it, you know, you can't just get away from this, and everything you try fails, it becomes not so interesting anymore, you know. It's like
yeah.
There has to be a higher purpose for talking about this, and I'm a mom on a mission, I guess you could say. And, you know, faith, like you said, you have a good belief system, and it's like, boy, our family got a crash course in faith, let me tell you, but that is what has gotten us through to this point, and it's amazing when you really do believe in what, you know, the power of God can do for your family. But we've not seen anything else work at this point than prayer. I mean, honestly, that for us has been what works, and if people don't believe that to work for them, that's okay, and I'm not trying to convert anybody. I just have to be honest and real about, you know, what our family is doing. I mean, we sat that night 2 days before we left the house last August, and we're sitting there getting the Bible up because, you know, you see in these movies that, oh, well, they got that out and started reading it. And I just started flipping pages, and I'm like, why is none of this working? And my 14-year-old was hysterically crying. And I had some really well-known people that have been in the media that were really good friends of ours that were really trying to help us. And he told me, he said, you know, you need to get out of that house. Get your daughter out of there. I mean, she was on the front porch just crying. These things would not leave her alone. They were screaming at her. And I was like, this can't be happening. You know, your brain is trying to process, and the human minds that we have, you know, and we just couldn't make sense of any of this. And we just had to get, you know, a crash course on what is our family going to do to get through this. And there was only, you know, one other person I had talked to that actually left his house, but he didn't go back. And we actually went back. So this is a little, you know, different situation. But, you know, things are still happening. And you just, you know, you got to learn to live with it. I mean, I can't say house number three would be any better. But, you know, I don't know. Hopefully down the line maybe we can get free from this. But it's very real stuff. And I don't invite people to, you know, invite this in, you know, and summon them up. Please don't do that, you know, especially with impressionable teenagers and kids, because I think that's the kid that started it at our first house. You know, I should have seen the signs and kind of wanted the house more than looking at the things that we saw there that might have been clues, you know, not to buy that place. But we were very drawn to the property for some reason, and, boy, it sure all started in 2003. So kind of got sucked in at that point, I hate to say, but that's when our story began.
Do you think by us running around and talking about the paranormal and you know, basically, you know, we're somewhat of a media outlet, although I don't get that. But do you think it's actually detrimental, or maybe there's something that you know from your unique perspective of the dangers of this kind of thing? Is what we're doing dangerous?
Do you mean dangerous as far as, like, me talking about it, or do you think with you guys, like, researching and all that kind of thing, do you wonder if I think that's dangerous?
Well,
or?
Actually, kind of both, because, there is indeed a theory, and because I've studied a lot of paranormal stuff, and there is indeed a theory that it's very simplistic, that, mm-hmm. you know, if you simply acknowledge something,
yeah.
that gives it power, and that's a very simplistic theory, but it is a theory that's out there, and I can see it happen. You know, it makes a little bit of sense. I think that life and the supernatural is a lot more complex than that. But
yeah.
if you acknowledge something, perhaps it gains some power from that. So if we're just sitting here talking about either your haunting or someone else, maybe we're going out crashing through a cemetery or something at night, and we see some shadow hooded figure. I think I just saw a shadow hooded figure. Oh well, you know, that could be the caretaker from up beyond, right? And you just make up a story or whatever. And it just goes on, and then that might give it some reality. I mean, either way, either people in their own lives, is it dangerous to talk about it and think about it and acknowledge it, or in your own story, or both?
Well, you know, I use this example quite often, or I have not lately, but in the past, you know, if people like a certain thing like golf or a sport that they like, and they don't let it overtake everything about their life, I think it's okay in moderation, but with us, I mean, I'm almost positive I'm going to have consequences to pay for this later when we go off the air either. I mean, the buildup before the show, I mean, the last 2 days have been pretty much, you know, catching me off guard with things around the house. And I may have to deal with a little fear factor around here, you know, later tonight with weird feelings or something. But I'm willing to go out on this limb because I've talked to so many people that have had things happen to them where they don't have people that believe them. And I know that there's got to be other families going through this with children. And, you know, to me, I had to do something. I felt so helpless when this started happening to us, and there was nothing on this at the library. I couldn't find anything to be helpful. And that's why this started out as, like, I have to do something. And that's why I wrote about our story to help educate people and talk about it. So for me, it's worth going on that limb if I think I can help somebody in some way, but I am prepared that I know that things may happen. I mean, most likely they will. I just have to, you know, kind of center myself in what I do to get through this. But with you guys, I mean, I would just say, you know, if your belief system is in place, your faith or whatever it is that you do to protect yourself, I don't think that you're putting yourself in any major danger. All I know is that I don't really talk to, you know, the people I did before, like the psychics and all this and that, about our situation, because I don't need anybody telling me exactly what they think is going on here, because we've had, you know, firsthand experience and I know that. So I try not to put myself in a position where it's going to open the door to something. I mean, these things like recognition, like you said, you know, they feed off of fear. If you get afraid, they love that. It just fuels the fire even more. I mean, it's especially with what we've been, you know, dealing with here. But I think you just have to, you know, if you know you're getting into a dangerous situation, you guys, and you feel something is wrong, I would hope that you guys would have common sense enough to walk away from it or say, okay, this, something's wrong here, we're not going to go there. But you just have to know what your limits are, you know.
We just send Bonnie
in. Yeah, they
send
me in.
Yeah, and that works out really well. But, you know, right now I do want to send to our listeners a break because we want to take a little break. I want to, you know, center myself a little bit and then hear more from you, Lisa. After this break, okay?
Sure. So, thank you so much for letting me talk. I talk too much, so just stop me wherever you need.
No, you're doing great.
You're doing fantastic. I'm on the edge of my seat. So, everybody, independent music again on the break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we'll be right back after this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.